Good morning. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. Problem of letting other people use your microphone. It never fits you again. As we come into worship this morning, it is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord and offer him our praise and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. As we come this morning, a couple of brief announcements as we prepare for worship. First, a welcome to Brian Hublett on the organ this morning. Minna spoke to me a couple of weeks ago and said her children really wanted their father for Father's Day, and so she was wondering if we could, would be able to find somebody. And I said, of course we can. Brian is always more than willing to come and share his talents with us, and we are pleased to have him here this morning. Next Sunday, the 26th of June, we're going to try our first post-COVID congregational picnic. We're going to just be here at our location here at St. John's. We aren't going to try to do something as bold as go out to the Lost Villages yet, but we will be here for worship. In years gone by, I would have said, you know, dress relaxed, but we're all a little bit more casual. I probably won't wear this next week, just so I will be more relaxed. Following worship, we will have a barbecue with hot dogs and hamburgers. Those will be provided. But there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board outside of the kitchen for those who might, for those to sign up who might bring salads and other assorted items. So please look carefully at that. Following worship this morning, I'm not going to shake your hands. On Friday, I was to the walk-in clinic, and the doctor said I have shingles. So you probably don't want to shake my hand. And you're probably glad I'm wearing my mask. I'm not sure he's right. But I didn't go to medical school, so don't take my word for it. Suffice it to say, I'm not nearly as uncomfortable as I would expect to be. But just to be safe, and because nobody wants them anyway, I'm going to not shake hands this morning, but I will be somewhere with my mask on, and I will give you a nod or a wave. Pretty much, it'll be just like it's been for the last 2 years. If you're a little nervous, stay away. Flowers that are on the communion table this morning are here today from the funeral for David McDougall earlier this week and are left in memory of him. As we enter the Lord's house this day, let us light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that in faithfulness we walk in the light of the Lord. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the house of the Lord and say together the call to worship. Come, you are welcome here, as everywhere, in the faithful presence of God. Listen, or sit, listen, breathe. This presence is a gift. We breathe in the gift of joy. Bubbling, beautiful joy that bursts from our lips in songs and laughter. Joy in this earth for the blessed bustle of beings that make their homes here. We breathe in the gift of hope. Hope for the past, that we can hear true stories of those who came before us. Hope for today, that we can begin to be people of God's healing. Hope for the future, for the world to be made new when justice and peace shall kiss. We breathe in the gift of love. Love that fills and overwhelms us. Love that will never turn away its face, even from our darkest places. We breathe in the gift of life. come into the gift of new life in the name of the true and living Holy One, who made us for love, who saved us by love, and who loves us still. Come in fullness of life. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, you call us to yourself so that we may live in wholeness with ourselves and with our neighbors. Unchain your people and set us free to rejoice in your saving word. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The opening hymn for this morning is From Ocean Unto Ocean. The words will appear before you on the screen. Please be seated. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin to God and to one another as we say together the prayer as it appears before you on the screen. Creator God, the diversity in your creation amazes us, but we confess we prefer what seems familiar. We'd like everyone to speak our language. We wish others held our values and shared our customs. We don't understand discrimination that hurts others. We don't recognize how our own preferences affect our other people and the earth itself in harmful ways. Forgive our familiar assumptions and open our minds and hearts to the stories of others and the cries of suffering through the earth. Amen. Friends, you belong to Christ and are heirs of the promise of freedom, in full assurance of justification by grace through faith, by the authority of God's beloved Son, I declare to you the absolute forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Blessed Trinity, one God, world without end. Amen. It's about a year ago now that we had to go looking for a custodian to work at the church when Dale retired. And one of the really interesting things we discovered when we were hiring a custodian was sometimes you don't see everything. On more than one occasion, we had somebody come in for the interview who looked at the church from the outside and then came inside and said, "Oh, this is much bigger than I thought it was." They had only ever looked at the church from Second Street, the big stone facade from 1889, 83, something like that. And they didn't recognize the fact that in behind the big stone facade, and this may be a lesson for some who are joining us on the live stream this morning, but behind that big, beautiful picture is the addition that was added to the church in 1958 with a large gymnasium and office and classroom spaces. It's indeed quite a bit bigger than you see at first glance. And I was reminded of that little event, that little story this week, as we think about the message for this morning, which focuses on our relationship with Indigenous people, since this is National Indigenous Peoples Sunday. And sometimes as we think about where we are going to go as we work towards reconciliation with Indigenous and First Nations people, we have to be mindful of the fact that sometimes things look different than how we've always thought them to look. So that's the little theme that's going to run through it. It speaks to us this morning in our first reading from Isaiah that will be read for us shortly, and some of the others as well, actually, and then will be picked up in the sermon. So listen for that theme in our worship today. The things are not always how we would imagine them to be. Let us come before God in prayer this morning. Let us pray. Gracious God, as you spoke to the legions, speak now to the forces that surround us. By your Spirit, let your word illumine the darkness, and your light break through our delusions, that we may see your truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
First reading is from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 65, verses 1 to 9. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat the flesh of pigs with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills, I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord. As the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it, so I will do for my servants' sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob, and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. The second reading is a responsive reading from Psalm 22, verses 19 to 28. And the words will appear on the screen in front of you. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid.
Soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me.
I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel.
For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
The first reading from the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves in Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Then they arrived at the region of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on shore, a man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, shouting, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him, and he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd stampeded down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they became frightened. For those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then the whole throng of people of the surrounding region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him.
Our hymn is, "This is my Father's world." The words will appear before you on the screen. Please be seated. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How do we learn to trust God again? That was the struggle that was facing the children of God in the reading from the Hebrew Scriptures for this morning. This last section from the book of the prophet Isaiah was written after the people had returned from the exile in Babylon and had been restored to the land. By the time that these verses were written, the reconstruction of the great temple in Jerusalem would have been well underway. You would think that things would have seemed good to the people. And yet, as we hear in this reading, there's still turmoil. There is still a separation between God and God's people. It is as if God is invisible to them. It is as if God's presence cannot be seen or felt. Hear those opening words of the reading. God is speaking and he says, I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. I held out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walked in a way that was not good, following their own devices. The struggle of the people of God that lies behind those words is the fact that they had been living a different life for so long. All these years, generations had passed, and during the time that they lived in the land of Babylon, they did not follow the law of the Lord. Now they had been returned to their own land, and alas, they live as if they're still in captivity. They sacrifice to foreign deities. They eat pork and stews made out of things that were forbidden by the law of Moses for them to eat. Simply put, they are no longer faithful, no longer living as God has instructed them to live. And yet, there remains hope in this passage. Despite all of these obstacles and all of these problems that get in the way of the people of God being faithful, God still makes promises. The reading concludes with those words that are part of any great prophetic proclamation. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in a cluster and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. So I will do for my servants' sake, and I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah's inheritors of my mountain. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. It is an amazing thing how so many people do not recognize that faith is dynamic. The reality of our faith is that it grows, it strengthens, but there are times when it also regresses. It moves backwards, and it can be influenced by the things that are happening around us. There are times when we wonder if we can follow God, if we can trust him. The reality, this reality, is recorded in this scripture. It's recorded throughout scripture in passages like the one that we read today from Isaiah. The children of God have lost their way, but God still holds out hope. There is regression and restoration all in 9 short verses of Isaiah chapter 65. But it should not surprise us, be surprising to us, that our living out of our faith in God would be dynamic, should it? We acknowledge that we cannot comprehend the mind of the Lord. We acknowledge that even if we could comprehend the mind of the Lord, we would be unable to live lives of righteousness that would carry that mind and that thought of God out in our lives. For we are created. We are not God. This constant state of flux, of regression and renewal, is fitting for us to remember today on this National Indigenous Peoples Sunday. As the church, and as people who are part of the settler culture to this country, we have much to learn. And sometimes those lessons are not easy. They come hard. They challenge our present understanding. And that is always difficult.
They cause us to have new insights that ebb and flow as they crash against the rocks of our inherent culture, like waves crashing against a breakwater. For a moment, we think we understand, but then it ebbs, and we're not quite sure anymore, and it comes back. It is in that rocking motion, that coming back and forth, that we grow more accustomed with concepts and ideas, and we come to new understandings of what it means to be fellow citizens and people of God. These new insights and new understandings always challenge us. They sometimes push us where we do not want to go. They will call upon us to think about things in whole new ways, to see things other than the way we've always seen them before. They will call upon us to think about our faith in a whole new way. And that will take time and reflection to fully comprehend. When I accepted the call to St. John's almost 3 years ago now, located as we are right next to the Akwesasne Reserve, I knew that I must learn more about Indigenous issues, and I have made a feeble attempt to get there. I had set aside some study leave funds to attend courses on Indigenous studies at Vancouver School of Theology, and I actually enrolled in one of those courses in my first year here. Alas, I did not get to go to Vancouver that year because COVID-19 got in all the way. I had all the plans, just none of the practice. But like so much that did happen, it became a Zoom encounter, which is too bad because it meant we didn't spend time together as people. Right? One of the real challenges of the virtual meeting, the virtual seminar, the virtual church even, is the loss of the social contact. You get to hear the presentation, but then you don't go to the dining hall and sit together and discuss it and think about it and be challenged by others' interpretations of what you've just heard. One of the things that came up in our discussions on colonialization had to do with how we do not understand how First Nations people, do not understand the gift of the promised land to the children of God in the same way that we do. For us, we have been brought up marveling at the wonder and the generosity of God in the promise that God would give to Abraham and Sarah a land of their own. But there's another reality in that promise. If we read the story carefully, because the reality of the gift of the promised land was that there were other peoples who lived in the land and that they would be displaced. Read from the context of Indigenous people, the gift of the promised land looks all too much like their own experience of displacement, suffered at the hands of early European explorers who saw Canada and other areas around the world as uninhabited places just because there weren't any Europeans there. But there were others. The name for that, and it's one that kind of rankles with me, but I'm getting more and more accustomed to it, is the doctrine of discovery. You may hear that phrase in the media. And at its most simplest form, what the doctrine of discovery meant was that European countries, European rulers, were encouraged to look at other countries as if there were no people there. But we know that there were. That there were First Nations and Indigenous cultures that had been here for centuries, millennia, before we came along. The sad reality of the doctrine of discovery, of how we dealt with and settled this land and others, is the fact that we failed to see the hidden blessings that lay there. That in a rush to make everything look like us, which, by the way, is just a common sin, everybody does it, but in that rush to make everything look like us, we failed to acknowledge the gifts that were part of the cultures that we encountered in other places, in this place, in the cultures that are all around us. The indigenous cultures have come into the forefront as we turn our attention to things like environmental integrity and climate change now, because they encourage us to look at the created world in a more cohesive manner, in a manner that acknowledges that we are all interconnected. And so they have that gift that we are now starting to recognize and realize and to accept as our own, and to learn from them what that means and what that might look like. That, and in so many other ways, we have lost that ability to learn. As Betty read from Paul's letter to the Galatians this morning, we had that wonderful quotation that I think probably is everybody's favorite verse, set of verses from the book of Galatians. Paul's affirmation to the church in Galatia that we are all created equal in the eyes of the Lord, that there is no longer Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor free, but that all have their place in the kingdom of God. That there is the promise that God's mercy and God's grace extends to all people. As we work through what it means to be people working towards truth and reconciliation with First Nations people, as we try to come to answers to how do we make reparations for things that have happened in the past and grow new relationships with those with whom we share this land, let us always remember that we are in the process of learning, that we see now a piece, that God is always opening our eyes to new people and new possibilities, to understand what it means to be created in community with one another, to recognize in one another the image of the divine. Let us go from this place this day to looking with new eyes and celebrating what it means to be God's people, reaching out in love and seeking to live in justice. Thanks be to God. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord equips us as followers of Jesus to bring healing and hope to the world God loves. The gifts that we offer in worship to God are tangible signs of what healing and hope at work in us and through us may look like. So give for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the good of the Lord may be shown. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, accept the gifts we offer you today and every day. Put our time, our talents, and our treasure to good use wherever they are needed, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of the earth and all its peoples, in Jesus Christ you proclaim the good news that true life and peace are found in you. Guide your church to proclaim this good news, not in ways that merely please people or do not cause offense, but in ways that brings Christ's reconciling love to divided communities and lives that are disconnected one from another. Shine your light into the world's hidden corners, exposing violence, exploitation, and bigotry. Reveal what dehumanizes the vulnerable and degrades your creation. God of healing and hope, we pray for all those who are ill or are in pain, for the anxious and discouraged, for those facing death or the loss of someone dearly beloved, and for those struggling to make ends meet in these uncertain times. Hear us now as in the silence of our hearts we lift up those for whom we care. On this National Indigenous Sunday, we pray for Indigenous communities across this land. Grant them wisdom and healing as they address the needs of their people. Bring healing to those who remember painful experiences and build bridges of understanding among us all. We pray for Presbyterian World Service and Development and its partners around the world as they work to bring healing and hope to places of strife and deprivation. We especially pray for the people of Ukraine as they long for peace. May the mission we share in Jesus' name shine the light of your love into desperate lives. God of the faithful future, bless this community of faith and guide us as we plan for the future in changing times. Bless students and teachers as another challenging school year comes to an end, and lift the stress from their lives for over these summer months. Give us a time of rest and enjoyment in the summer, and restore our hope and energy to serve you in our world. We offer all these prayers, spoken and unspoken, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to say together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise is the hymn, O for a world where everyone. The words of the hymn will appear before you on the screen.
Respect each other.
now let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.